It's Pentecost today. But what does that mean? Pentecost is just a Greek word. It means 50. In this case, it refers to 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. That's not very significant in some ways. But Pentecost is what completes God's whole plan of salvation. So at Christmas, yes, our Savior was born for you. But how does that become real for you? How do you end up with believing that? On Good Friday, he died on the cross and paid for all your sins. But again, how does that become real for you? How do you have faith in that? Easter, he conquered death for you. But again, how does that become real for you? How do you have faith? And last week, we celebrated Ascension, and where Jesus rose to fill the universe and rule the universe at the Father's right hand. Amazing. But again, how does that become real for you? How do you have faith? So at this point, so 10 days before Pentecost, Jesus said to his disciples they were to wait in Jerusalem. He said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. So we had 120 old men and old women waiting, young men and young women waiting. They couldn't imagine what was going to happen. They had no idea that there would be tongues of fire on their heads, or that they would speak foreign languages that they'd never learned before, or that they would be sharing their faith with family and friends and people from other countries. Pentecost is finally the pinnacle, the thing that closes God's plan of salvation. It completes God's plan of salvation. The gift of the Holy Spirit brings the gift of faith. 3,000 were baptized that day. 120 old men and old women and young men and old and young women were flat out baptizing 3,000 people. Each of them had to baptize at least 25 each. And 3,000 went home believing, sharing their faith, their belief in Jesus with family and friends. And many of them went to foreign nations to share their faith. So the day of Pentecost celebrates the gift of faith. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the sort of three faces of God. And that same Holy Spirit who brooded over the waters of creation, that's the one that we receive. That same Holy Spirit that gave Gideon as a leader bravery, or Samson strength, or Deborah wisdom, we receive. That same Holy Spirit that helped Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Huldah, Hannah, Elizabeth, and Mary to prophesy, you receive that same Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that made the patriarchs and matriarchs, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, have faith in God, that's the same Holy Spirit you receive. We receive the same one. That same one who overshadowed Mary and she conceived Jesus. The same one that warned Joseph that Herod would want to kill the baby Jesus and told him to go to Egypt. That same one who was descended on Jesus at his baptism. That same one who worked through Jesus the various miracles. So the day of Pentecost is a celebration of the gift of faith that God gives us. 120 old men and old women, young men and young women, received that same Holy Spirit that they believed. And they shared their faith in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Pentecost is a celebration of the gift of faith. People like you and me, empowered, inspired by that same Spirit to share the good news of what Jesus has done for us. Of course, it's unnatural to believe in things that we can't see, taste, smell, or touch. We don't like that sort of stuff. And that's why Jesus says, St. Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's alien for us to believe in something that we can't see, touch, or taste, or smell. Or again, in the Creed today, we said, I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. It's, you know, like the cartoons where the devil's on one shoulder and the Holy Spirit's on the other, or the angels on the other. That drawing to not believe, that stubbornness to not believe, that's our natural self. That's the work of Satan. And the voice that draws us to trust God, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, all of you, because you all experience that same division. The Holy Spirit also gives believers gifts. And so Paul tells us each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. So some of you have the gift of music, or craftsmanship, or service, or technology, or encouragement, or evangelism, or hospitality, or prayer. So we bless others because we have been given a gift to serve others. God also guides us and prompts us. So those thoughts that maybe you ought to ring Aunt Maud, how's she doing, or check on a neighbor, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. He's also the one who gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And so, in the same way that the grapes produce fruit, that's what they're there for, Christians produce fruit. And we're getting more blessing here of rain, aren't we? Christians produce fruit. And Paul names some of them as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's actually describing the Christ-like life. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, is shape and mold us to be like Jesus, so that people will see in us what Jesus was like and be drawn to Jesus. Okay, so how do you receive the Holy Spirit? At your baptism, God promised to give you the Holy Spirit. And today, as you receive Jesus' body and blood, again, it's promised that you will receive the Holy Spirit. And whenever you read the Bible, listen to a sermon, worship God, the Holy Spirit comes. One of the interesting things is on Pentecost, they were speaking at least 15 languages that they'd never learned before. In Islam, people can only read the Quran in Arabic. It can't be translated, or you can't read it truly in any other language other than Arabic. Christianity is opposite. That's why they gave them at least 15 languages that day. We are not generic Christians. We are not the same. Every Christian is unique. And that's why Christians worship in many, many languages. Some churches you go to, you take your shoes off at the door. That's their culture. Some churches you go to, people sit on the floor. That's their culture. Or march around the church with drums. I saw an Ethiopian worship service where people were marching around it in a big snake marching around the church with drums. We have many cultures. It's Jesus at the center. Not that we all have to be like British people or something else like that. And so the Bible is translated into many languages. The New Testament into 1,700 languages, and at least part of the Bible into almost 4,000 languages. Opposite of Islam, one language only. This is for all people. Every language, every culture. God doesn't want us to be the same. We are uniquely gifted. And that same Spirit speaks through broken people. Maybe you've experienced hate in your life. Then you know what it feels like, and you can share the gift of healing love and the gift that forgiveness gives us when we let go of the people of wanting to hate back. Maybe you've been broken by depression, even thoughts of suicide. Then you know what it feels like, and you can be a blessing to those who are going through those things and talk about that gift of God's forgiveness and hope. Maybe you've been broken by doubt, and yet you have the gift of faith. There's that struggle. So you can help those who have that feeling. Maybe you've been broken by illness, you know, crushing progressive illness. And yet we know that it will be final healing when we will have new, young, strong, and healthy bodies. Pentecost completes God's plan of salvation. Christmas is awesome. Jesus was born for you. But what makes it real for you? The Spirit makes it real. Good Friday is amazing that God would pay for your sins on the cross. And it's the Holy Spirit who makes us accept that. Easter, that he conquered death for you. Mind-blowing. And it's the Holy Spirit who helps you to believe that. The ascension, that Jesus fills the universe for you and that all things work together for good to those who love God. Amazing. And it's the Holy Spirit who leads you to believe. He's the one who gives you gifts to serve others, and others serve you because of the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who shapes us. My children complained that I was strict when they were young, and I'm a pushover with the grandchildren. I tell them I've mellowed. I've grown. Hopefully I'm more Christ-like than I was before. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So how do we receive the Spirit? Through baptism, hearing sermons, reading the Bible, and today as we receive the Lord's Supper. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep